Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quinncast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Hello, welcome to the newest episode of Dr. Quinncast. I'm Kelly, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark.
Hey, Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing fabulously. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited for this episode.
I am too. This has always been, I think, one of my favorite episodes from the first season. The first season has some pretty solid episodes, and I had not really visited it for a little while, and I always kind of like going back to it because it reminds me of just like right from the get-go, the show just like right out of the gate is just churning out these really quality episodes.
I think you just like to see little Brian.
Hey, little Brian. Yeah. He is pretty cute.
He could ride Wolf, I think.
Yeah. Wolf is definitely like three times bigger than Brian in season one.
And, you know, it's weird because I am currently in season six, right? So Brian's, you know, I don't know, he's probably 14 years old at this point. And he has grown so much on the show. And I don't know, it's been like 2 or 3 months since I've been watching it. So I've seen this quickly, you know, this quick change. So when I go back now, it's such a shock to see everybody, actually, even Matthew, he looks so much younger in this episode.
Yes, yes, definitely. They all look very different in the first season. And the first season has kind of a different vibe to it, too. You know, the music's a little different.
Yeah.
Something about kind of the general feel, something about like, I would say like the filmography in general just sort of has a little bit of a different, you know, vibe to it, but it's really good.
Yeah.
It kind of has more of like a nostalgic feel to it in a way than I think.
We also have a different Michaela. We have a Michaela who's kind of broken a bit, right? She's really lost.
I mean, she's reeling from the loss of her father, yeah, and then, you know, David, the upheaval, big transition that she's moving, and then she's taken on these children. You know, everybody in the show, I was just thinking about this earlier today, and we had mentioned in our, when we were reviewing Money Trouble about how Myra, when she, like, you know, is pregnant and how she's kind of freaking out, you don't really know what's going on with her at first. And, you know, that she's bored, and we know that she's bored, and she kind of has a tough time with it. But there are all these, like, layers of her adjustment, and she never really has time to deal with it. You know, that even just any one of those life changes that she went through would be a big thing, that she would really need time to kind of deal with it and adjust, and, like, it's just all at once. I mean, that happens a lot in this show. I mean, we have it with, like, you know, Dr. Mike, of course, like, right off in the pilot. It's like, her father has died. She is having trouble, you know, maintaining the practice in Boston. She moves out there completely unexpectedly. Like, her first and only friend she makes dies, and then she ends up with these kids, and nobody wants her to be a doctor there. Huge adjustment. She's still going through the adjustment. I mean, we have Sully. We've kind of talked about this a little bit, maybe a little bit on air, but also off air, too. We've had conversations about some of Sully's behaviors that at times are a little bit questionable, but once again, we have somebody who's gone through just all these layers of changes, like, instantly. Like, you know, he goes from, like, living in the woods and on his own to, yeah, like, he gets married, he's living in, like, this house now, he gets these, like, three kids along with the marriage, and then you, like, throw a baby in there.
And then he
just
leaves.
Like, boom, boom, boom.
Like, then he's all on the run.
Yeah, there's, like, all of this stuff constantly. It's like all these people are always just getting massive mudslides of changes and, like, no time to deal with it.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I mean, a TV show, so I'm sure they kind of have to do that because people would get bored otherwise if they had to, like, you know, yeah, watch them go through one life change at a time.
But sometimes those changes can really mess up things. And we see a lot of things kind of come and go, you know, types of behavior and stuff. Even with Matthew right now from season six, we see such a change really in him in this one particular season that it's kind of shocking.
Yeah, everybody, it's kind of like the first season has a very particular feel to it, and I think the sixth season does as well.
Yeah,
everything kind of feels a little bit different for some kind of obvious reasons, too.
Let's play our first clip, which is right in the beginning.
Oh, by the way, we should probably mention what episode we're doing.
Oh, that would not be a bad idea.
People would figure it out eventually anyway. if you've seen the show, you'll figure it out.
It's happy birthday.
Happy birthday, which is season one, episode 11, I suppose, if you go by IMDb, which does not count the pilot as the first episode. Pilot as the first episode, I suppose it'd be episode 12.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. Sometimes the numbering gets kind of off for me. And, sometimes the way that we're watching it, it's the way it's labeled in there. Sometimes the double depth episodes are just labeled as one particular episode.
There are a couple different numbering systems at play with like the two-parters, of which there are a lot, and then whether or not the pilot is considered the first episode of the first season.
Well, now that I have a DVD set coming to my house, I can always use that as a reference. I've made the investment.
That's true. So on my DVD set, the pilot is the first episode.
Which DVD set do you have? Do you know? Is it the A&E?
I mean, I know it's made by A&E. Are they all made by A&E? I know that's like that they own it or whatever, but...
I heard a lot of people saying, well, it doesn't play, and I'm thinking, you know what, I bet it does.
Yeah. Will say that mine, which I ordered on Amazon... and I saw some reviews. Well, actually, I had an order, and my husband gave it to me as a gift.
Oh, what a lovely gift.
Yes. and some bravo of the reviews...
Bravo, Pete.
What's that?
I said, bravo, Pete.
Yeah, bravo. Well, so I thought I was going to get it for my birthday, but then I got an engagement ring instead, and then he got me Dr. Quinn the next Christmas.
Because... This guy is the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah. I mean, the ring was nice and everything.
Yeah.
I needed my DVDs, too.
It's like, I'm still going to get those DVDs, right?
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
Kind of like when Sully and Michaela get married, but like, Wolf goes to sleep in the bedroom, right?
I can still wear my dirty shirt, right?
I can leave my tuxedo bag in the corner for him, right?
On Saturday nights, I could sleep in the lean-to, right?
That's his man cave. He's out there playing PlayStation with Wolf.
I still don't understand it. It'd be so funny. Yeah, he's like, you go to his like tent, and he's like a Roomba in a tent, and
yeah,
he's just living the life.
Back to my DVDs. So they've on Amazon, like the same set that I have. That has like the same artwork as the set that I have. There were some reviews where people said that like they weren't playing and there were issues, but mine have always been really fine, with the exception of season 5, episode 3, Malpractice.
Oh, really?
Yes, where that one just like would not play in the DVD. It just wouldn't. Like, it had some weird glitch. It just totally would not play.
Come on, Amy. So, we're gonna call you out.
What?
I'm saying we have to get on Amy's. We have to get this message to A&E. It's like have to get their act together.
Yeah, so I'm like watching the DVDs all the time. That one would never work. Tried different players and stuff. DVD doesn't look like it's scratched. Doesn't look like there's anything on it or wrong with it. So I didn't see that episode for a long time. And then when we got cable and I was watching it on Hallmark Drama, and then
shut up, everybody.
I'm going to finally watch this episode. It was kind of like having a new episode because it was one that I hadn't remembered from, you know, previously, like, you know, years earlier watching it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I'd always wanted to watch it and it just like would never work. And I was like, it's like a brand new episode.
Yay, you bought balloons.
Yeah.
So with Happy Birthday, we have Michaela having her 35th birthday. it's actually if it was her way, it would be kind of, well, I guess we can call it her 7th 35th birthday. How about that?
Her 7th 35th birthday. Yeah. She stopped having birthdays when she was 35.
Is Jane Seymour, who does not look 42 years old in this, playing a 35-year-old woman.
Yeah, she always looks way younger than she really is. Yeah,
even now, the woman's
modern day.
She's like 70 now, and she looks, 12. She looks like
she's like prepubescent. It's crazy.
She looks like Colleen.
No, she's not. But yeah, it's crazy that she just always looks really young.
Yeah. But so here we go. Sometimes I have to stop myself from talking. Some people might actually appreciate that. So here we go. We're going to set it up, and we're looking through a catalog.
Can I have one of those?
You don't even know what it is.
Do too.
I don't think you really enjoy a corset, Brian.
What about you, Ma? What do you want?
I don't want anything.
Now, Captain Matthew comes in like the Fonz, kicking open the door.
He's been learning from Sully.
And I took a screenshot of this box he's carrying. The thing's falling apart. It looks like, it's like legitimately falling apart.
Well, no wonder what happens.
Jeez.
Everything I need right here.
This came for you, Dr. Mike.
I told Horace I'd bring it down.
Who's it from?
I don't know.
The letter come with it.
Oh. Letter came with it, Matthew.
Dear Michaela.
Grandma.
Hope my correspondence finds you and the children in good health.
Whoever has the penmanship is pretty good penmanship. I mean,
yeah, it's stellar.
Like they wrote holding a ruler or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like not even lined paper. And it says on the bottom, love mother. That is warm.
Grandma.
Exactly.
Please find enclosed a little something of civilization, since you're obviously determined to remain as far away from it as humanly possible. I've been saving this for your hope chest.
What were you hoping for?
Now, how insulting. All right. I mean, these kids are growing up here. You know, they were born here. This is all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so insulting. It's like.
Yeah.
It seems to me a little bit. It's a little bit, yeah, harsh.
Husband dummy.
Colleen? However, as your status as an unmarried woman seems unlikely to be changed in the foreseeable future, I've decided to send along a service for aid of your favorite Wedgwood china. In honor of your...
What a weirdo. So,
yikes.
Do you know what her mother's first name is?
Elizabeth.
Oh, it is Elizabeth. Okay, because it says it's from E. Quinn.
Yeah.
All right, good. That was a good trivia question, right? Elizabeth! Ding, ding, ding. It's all right.
Let's see.
We should totally do a trivia night one night.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can give away a little bobblehead Bryant.
Bobblehead Bryant. Bobblehead Wolf.
Yeah, Bobblehead Wolf would be... that would be actually kind of amazing. So... It's, you know, she stops reading, and I think as the viewer, we kind of like get an inkling, maybe we're not 100% sure. It could be a lot of things with this woman. She opens it up and the china is just destroyed.
Shattered.
It's all broken.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Nice snowshoes on the wall behind Matthew when he's,
Yeah, I noticed the snowshoes, but there's no snow anywhere to be found on this show. Yeah.
I'll accept that one cup.
All she needs is one cup to give the quinine.
Now, when I was watching to give the quinine, I wasn't sure what to expect here, and I swear I thought she was going to snap, turn around and throw the teacup at the wall or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Now, this is also where I thought Michaela was going to have a complete breakdown, right? And in your screenshot of her, she has that face.
Well, for her, this is a breakdown. I mean, she's someone who... I don't want to say she doesn't show emotion, because she does. I mean, she makes her feelings known, and especially when she's with Sully, we see some...
I smile a lot.
Particular emotions and stuff. She smiles all the time.
All the time.
But she doesn't, for her to actually have like a breakdown and just like, you know, freak out, Well, she does after Washita, but I mean, that was a very traumatic thing that she went through, but she's normally a little bit more restrained. So for her, like, being upset here and even, like, visibly being upset to the children, I think that, like, pretty much is her extent of, you know, breaking down.
I still see a Michaela who I'm thinking in the back of my head wants to possibly just say, screw this, I'm going back to Boston.
Well, maybe. I mean, like, it's probably a lot of things. I mean, she's probably, well, I mean, her mother's reminding her that she's not married, and she obviously has, you know, kind of a painful, you know, history with that, you know, prospective marriage and everything that didn't happen. And she also is 35, which at this point in time, I mean, if you're an unmarried woman at 35,
mm-hmm.
It's
over.
Kind of hopeless. Yeah. Like, generally speaking, it's not really, you know,
it's not, you were supposed to have started your family 15 years ago.
Yeah. You're like a total, like, you know, spinster.
Yeah.
And she's going through the difficulties of the adjustment and, the kids. And
get a roommate, Michaela.
Does she miss Boston? I mean, I'm sure she does to some extent when she's visiting Boston in the next season. She clearly loves being back.
Yeah.
But she probably just has, like, this whole, like, you know, conflicting wave of thoughts.
But, of course, sweet little Brian comes out with his little pink shirt on. This kid just looks like the kind of kid who should be in a Buster Brown ad in the 70s.
That's awesome. My husband calls one of our cats Buster Brown all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, that's what that makes me think of.
But that's, he looks like the Buster Brown kid.
Yeah. He has, like, very, like, pink lips. In this.
You notice, like, yeah.
I don't know if it's just, like, the pink shirt that really sets it off. But at one point, I was kind of like, does he have, like, lips, like, lip gloss on?
He does. When you pointed it out, when he's on the cart, he really does. It does match his shirt in a very strange way.
Oh, it's not the dishes.
It's you, Brian.
Exactly. It's your stinky family. And you pointed out, like, kind of like in a creepy way, you have these two in the background to, like,
slide right in through the door.
Yeah.
I'm crying because, well, because sometimes I just feel lonely.
Lonely? How can you feel lonely? You got us.
Yikes.
What about Pup? Where's Pup?
And Pup, don't forget you have Pup. He's probably gnawing right now on a piece of china. He's taking a nap on top of all the broken china. I would love if there was an animated spinoff of this, of, like, you know, Wolf and Pup. And it's kind of like a, you know, Shaggy and, I mean, Scooby-Doo with Scrappy.
Well, here's your fan fiction. Write it.
And Sully,
write it, animate it.
And it's kind of like if you ever saw the Mr. T cartoon, that could be the basis of the Sully character, where he goes around fighting crime with his Tommy Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'd have to call it something a little bit more politically correct for the time. Can't go around calling it a Tomahawk.
Isn't that just what it's called, though?
I know, but probably you're not allowed to say it.
Hmm.
Oh, indeed.
Well, actually, I don't know if a tomahawk is called a tomahawk. I know later on we get to see a dream catcher, and a dream catcher is one of these kind of weird things that's really been Americanized.
Mm-hmm. Well, recently when we were up in the mountains of North Carolina.
Wonderful.
Yeah, kind of like outside. We're maybe 30 minutes from Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Cherokee itself is, there's a lot of, like, commercialized, you know, Native American stuff there.
Sure.
And there's a casino, too. We went to the casino.
Oh, did you?
But, yeah.
Oh, I was just talking to my wife about that. You guys went to Vegas. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Go.
Yeah. So, at, like, gift shops and stuff, though, like, where we were staying, like, a lot of, like, dream catcher stuff, you know, like, necklaces and earrings and
And Mandela's. Steal
things for, like, your, you know, hang up on your wall or whatever.
Yeah. Any cattle skulls? That's, like, a big thing.
No, no cattle skulls.
Really?
Isn't that more of, like, a, like, Texas thing?
Maybe the horns, but, on, like, a bullhorn type thing. But, yeah, cattle skulls are very often used for, real, like, a lot of Native American decoration.
Oh.
Yeah. You get them, like, bleached. You know, they're kind of... When you really think about it, it's kind of disgusting. But, I mean, it's kind of interesting to look at.
So, I suppose a tomahawk, you could call it, like, an axe. Or maybe a hatchet, right?
A hatchet, yeah. I think a hatchet would be... I don't know. I mean, I could be just totally wrong. I could be just overthinking it. And it's totally... I mean, it is Sully. I mean, Sully, he has... he is accepted within the Cheyenne... Friend well, circle.
In case you were wondering, there is a difference between a tomahawk and a hatchet.
Oh.
A tomahawk is a longer tool with a severely tapered head and bit used primarily for chopping, throwing, and self-defense. We see Sully do all these things. A hatchet is a small, compact tool with a noticeable but less drastic taper between the hammer and bit. It's used primarily for chopping and field work. So, other than the physical differences, it seems like the tomahawk is used for throwing and self-defense.
Wait, so
in addition to practical stuff, whereas the hatchet is pretty much practical.
So we have a hatchet, a tomahawk, is an axe something else?
Okay.
I wonder if an axe is just primarily to chop wood.
Maybe.
I don't know. These are, see, this is the
guy. Oh, ooh, I found something with all three. okay. So what is the deal with the axe? Okay. So the axe is a tool or weapon that is used for a variety of purposes, which includes splitting log, cutting wood, firefighting, and hunting.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, seriously, it really is really interesting that these are three legitimately different tools that all, for the most part, for all intents and purposes, it's kind of the same thing, but really so different.
Also noteworthy about the axe is that they come with long handles, means that they were designed to be used with two hands, which is a pretty big difference, I think.
Yeah.
It requires a long backswing for maximum impact.
Now, is a sledgehammer... No, I'm kidding.
all right. This is a welcome to the hand tool episode of Dr. Bookcast.
The hand tool. Exactly. We're going to have to, like, turn this into, like, a video with, like, demonstrations.
A demonstration of, like, chopping wood with the different tools.
Now, this is an axe. Yeah, it's
maybe for Thanksgiving while the turkey is cooking.
You know, it's not a bad idea. All right, so we get to. I mean, I would totally do something like that where it can do like kind of a live stream. I mean, it's so easy to do that kind of stuff nowadays. So, well, don't worry about it. If you stay subscribed to this podcast, you're in for a lot of treats.
It's just the beginning.
Hey, we have a hotline. How many podcasts have a hotline? You can just call in and leave a message.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Please do. Do you want to give out the number, Mark?
I do. It's 516-308-2397. And it's like calling New York. It's a toll call, I guess. But it doesn't cost anything to call, of course. It's not like, you know, 976, you know, Hot Sully or something like that.
Hot to trot.
Or like 1-900 Hot Chicks with the CHIX.
1-900 Hank.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Hank. Six Hanks and then like four Hanks. I mean, four H's. That'd be so funny. Hey, ladies. And hey guys, if you want to pay the price, it's fine, it's just a phone call. Oh man. It's like, hey, welcome to the welcome to today's vest minute.
The vest and ascot combination.
When you're picking out a vest, I would love that. So, all right, we get to meet Mr. Barton, who's not feeling very well at all. He apparently went to get a... it's possible he's a veteran, and he went to go get a free shave.
And, yeah, he made it through the war, but he didn't make it out of the barbershop.
This stuff scares me, you know, like how quickly something like this can become like a sepsis-type situation in your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, but here we go.
When did you begin feeling ill, Mr. Barton?
Day before yesterday.
Why did you wait so long to come in?
I asked Jake, but he said it weren't nothing.
Is that where you got this cut?
Yeah, it cut me while I was getting a shave.
Well, it's become infected. The razor you used was probably dirty. I warned you before.
Now, it's just kind of weird for her to kind of be crap-talking Jake right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's not going to be helpful to this guy at all. Like,
it
doesn't
right. She could have kept it to herself. Like, just treat the man and then just to yourself be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did this again or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so pissed. But.
And you point out, you like, well, they keep talking and he says something. And, it's kind of an interesting response.
Is that why I'm so sick?
I'm afraid so.
What have I got?
You're suffering from septicemia.
What the heck is that?
Blood.
Oh, it's a
poisoning.
It's blood poisoning. So this guy, he really does. He looks like a lion to me, and he has like the thickest mustache I've ever seen.
Yeah. I love the way he says, what the heck is that?
What the
I
heck
mean, that's
is
pretty
that?
Much, it goes back to her. She's never really had the quality where she's really like reading the room. Like, she has all this knowledge, but she needs to relate it to the audience in a way that they'll understand. So, like, if you want to use the term for it, fine. Mm-hmm. But I think she gets a little better with this as the series goes on, you know. But here she's just like, you have septicemia.
And I heard, it's like
this guy's not going to know what that is.
Before she realized what it was when she was treating him, she was going on and on about the dishes.
Yeah.
So they came, and she spent so much money packing them up. And they came, and believe it or not, just a teacup.
And then Wolf cut his paw on it, Dirk got in, and it got infected.
Foaming at the mouth. Oh, yeah. Not yet. Soon. Soon. Too soon.
That's pup, actually, but whatever.
Oh, I thought you said pup.
A wolf is just a wolf to you, isn't it? There's a difference between a wolf and the wolf.
They're just dogs to you, aren't they? This podcast ends now.
Why don't you go see if there are 2.5-year-old pictures on Facebook?
You throw the computer across the room. Pete comes in, it's like, what the hell's wrong? He did put the confused pop. All right. So this guy is clearly not doing well on any level whatsoever. So it brings us to the kids, and they're talking about finding ways to cheer up Dr. Mike. And as you point out, it's very nice that they care so much about her. She really mm-hmm. needs that in her life.
We gotta do something to cheer Ma up. We could give her a birthday party.
I'd have to be surprised, though. We're not even supposed to know.
It's Ma's birthday?
No, it's a secret, Brian.
Now, I'm looking at Colleen's outfit, and it looks like it was just bought out of a catalog. Like, this is, it's just... Like, has she even met Colleen, too?
I think her shirt, this shirt seems like a little maybe crisper than what she normally wears.
Yeah, at least she has this thing around her midriff that kind of cinches it all together.
Yeah.
Because normally it's like a big schmata that she's wearing.
She does have the matching hair ribbon, though.
Yeah. But it's very young. It's very... Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, I think that's the big difference between Colleen 1 and Colleen 2 is the age that they're being dressed at. But, you know, I mean, it's not like she looks bad or anything like that.
Right.
It's just, you know, I think it's actually very suiting for a child in this town.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I won't say nothing.
Wait, there's this weird guy. I just have to go back just for a moment.
Guys, though, we're not even supposed to know.
Ma's birthday?
No, it's a secret, Brian.
Don't worry, I won't say nothing.
All right, so we get to see the tomahawk, right? I mean, we're going to call this a tomahawk. No, this is a knife.
We confirmed that's what it is. No, wait, that's a knife. But yeah. Sully has a tomahawk, yeah.
And Sully's, like, just spending the whole day. He's like, yeah, just sharpen it. He's just staring.
With his twigs in his mouth.
And what's interesting about this, and this is one of the benefits of watching the show so quickly, is this sharpening stone, I'm going to say, is about 12 inches in diameter. And when you get to season 6, there's a brand new sharpening stone, and it's got to be like 20 inches.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to look for that.
It's like a huge wheel. And Jake is actually sitting on the thing doing pedaling, and he's sharpening his scissors.
Oh, I remember that scene you're talking about now. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I was like, ah. Now, this is Sully Fonzarelli, in my opinion. He's so cool. He is
too cool for school.
He's too cool. I think that he's also a little bit cruel.
Yeah. He's so cool, but he needs to relate to Brian as if he's not a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
You gonna be around for the next couple of days?
I should be. Why?
Because it's Ma's birthday?
No, not actually. No. After you said that, I just remembered. Got this
thing.
Oh,
I have a dentist appointment.
Which one's your mom? Is it your ma, right? Is it Colleen's your ma? Brian is really cute in this. Like, I found him very irritating at first. But
yeah,
going back, I appreciate
kind of
him.
Endearing. Yeah, like,
he has a whole Child of the Damned thing going on. It's very cute. And his suspenders, I wrote in the notes, I just want to, like, pull them back and snap them.
Yeah, he's, like, really cute. Yeah.
Oops. Don't tell nobody.
I kind of blew that. I think it's really funny how he blows the entire secret.
For the next couple of days.
Go on Twitter and tell everybody.
Exactly.
I should be. Why?
Because it's Ma's birthday? Oops. Don't tell nobody.
She's a virgin.
It's a secret.
She's going to buy a corset. <It's> like, and, you know, it's funny because if you look at Robert, you know what? All right, I have a question. This is going to be brought up.
Are you going to have to be like, is E his last name or is it part of his
last
name?
Like, I don't know. Are we
sure
supposed
that
to confuse?
Actually get an answer for that.
Do we confuse him with all the other Roberts on the show? Because there aren't any.
Because everybody calls him Robert E., even Grace. So his wife says Robert E. So is his name just Robert E.?
I don't know.
Because if E. were like his last name, then...
Well, he's credited as Robert E.
Yeah. So is that like... his first name or is that his last name? Because then would it be like Grace E?
Grace E. I didn't think about that. It's funny. Anthony E.
Anthony E.
A. Or, hey, it's like another Fonz connection. Know. Yeah.
Is that his last name? Is it not? I'm not sure that we ever hear like a last name for Grace either, which given that they're, you know, former slaves, a number of things could happen, you know, when they,
yeah,
when slavery ended, I mean, like, they could, you know, take on, you know, like a name from, like, you know, the plantation that
it could
came from,
it could be could, yeah, it could be associated to that, and instead of using the word itself, he's abbreviating it, and that, that's totally possible. But if you watch him in this particular scene, he looks so uncomfortable the whole time, like, I don't know. I don't understand. It's just kind of strange.
We're trying to think of a good present for it.
So, why don't you marry our mom and be our pa?
Brian, it's not something you just do. It takes time.
She's 35. She doesn't have a lot of time left.
Brian...
It's just that her mom sent her some stuff from her hope chest.
Robert E.'s like, why are you asking me to marry your mom?
I know.
She's a fine looking woman.
Make her Mrs. E.
I'm a single man. I own my own business. Yeah.
Although he's already met Grace. He has the hots for Grace already, so.
Who doesn't?
Robert E.
And I said, who doesn't?
Oh, I thought you said, who does? I was like, Matthew.
Hope chest?
Yeah. You know, we started to think.
Wouldn't it be nice if she had somebody to share it with? Besides us. So we're giving her a surprise party.
You can dance with Ma.
You could dance if you want to.
He looks like he wants to throw up when she said it. Who's your ma again? I said I'm not going to be around, Brian. And this is where you start getting kind of mad, almost, I think.
Well, I was planning on going out and checking my traps this week. But I'll try to make it.
Promise?
I can't promise, Brian. I can't. I said I'd try and make it.
Don't you want to be our pa?
Brian, you already got a pa. What I am is your friend. Don't you forget that now. Thanks, Robert E.
I'll be back.
Awkward.
Robert E., I'll be back in 10 minutes.
As soon as the kids clear out.
It's like, see you later, Robert E. I'm going to go hang out and stand right across the street and wait until the kids walk away.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what else is he doing, you know?
Avoiding Lauren.
I have to use that excuse. No, I can't do it. I have to go check my traps.
Yeah.
So, all right, we come back to Mr. Barton. He's just not getting better. I don't know exactly how you would treat sepsis at this point. There's really not much of a way. I mean, there's no antibiotics.
Right. When we see elsewhere in the series, you know, people dying from the same thing. Kind of when it happens, it's kind of, you're not coming back from it, probably.
Yeah, it's a real shame. It also makes me wonder, like, if it's so, if it's so fatal, if there's really no turning around, I'm just wondering how many people would do kind of an assisted suicide or just kind of an end of life type of situation. And I know it's a very, very involved conversation to have, but I'm imagining that it probably happened more often than we realized back in this time. I mean, a shot of morphine will probably stop your heart.
Yeah.
And Tom's like, that'd be an awful waste of morphine.
You gotta spread it out and make it last.
I can make, that's a week's worth. Well, 2 days worth.
How's he doing?
Everybody's wearing pink in that family, by the way.
Yeah, from what I understand, in the 19th century, pink was kind of a common color. And I wonder if it had to do with the fact of dyes and everything kind of bleeding when you're washing them.
Mm.
I'm not sure. Or maybe just a red sock got into everything.
Or maybe the cost of the dye or whatever is cheaper.
Do you ever watch that? I mean, I haven't watched this show in well over a decade, but Pawn Stars. It's like
I've seen it so much.
The guy looks like the guy in the bed right now at 7:53. He looks like the you know what? He doesn't look like that guy. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different show where they make like motorcycles. Sorry.
Oh, Counting Cars.
No, this is like way old. This is like Cross, like Orange Chopper.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
It's like Orange County Choppers or something like that.
Orange County Choppers?
Maybe. Or something like that. They make like these like lowrider, they make these like crazy motorcycles. And we're talking like, you know, well over 10, 15 years ago this show was on.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he looks like the dad. That's all. That's the end.
Keep him comfortable. Could you get the river in place? Hurry.
And the whole keeping comfortable thing, I just think is, for me, I'm just like, kill me. Like, if I'm suffering, just pull the plug.
Well, right. I mean, like, really, to keep him comfortable, like, wake him somewhere, faint to numb the pain, and then he'll just slip away. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad scene, but she's right there, and she's there until until he goes away. She goes across the street to the barber shop and confronts Jake while he's in the middle of shaving someone.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, I'm gonna play that.
Which, by the way, speaking of intense, when that guy died, it was pretty crazy. He's like, Ma, Ma.
Do you want me to play that?
If he wants to.
I forgot he did that. Hold on, I can't get the exact time, so I'm just gonna play a little bit of what we heard.
Keep him comfortable. Could you get the reverend, please? Hurry.
Ma? Is that you, Ma?
Yes, I'm here.
This is crazy.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, the whole thing is sad. You know, the guy just goes in for a shave and then boom.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how people, you know, like someone like Michaela, you know, this is her job and stuff, like to deal with that, just like repeated trauma basically from being exposed to this stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think I'd be able to deal with it.
You know, Betsy deals with not like this happening, but she deals with death kind of often where she is. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, she's very often in our room when somebody's dying. And I'm like, that's never been a situation that I would intentionally put myself in. But, you know,
yeah.
I think some people can just handle it better than other people.
Yeah,
I don't think I could. But
no, I don't think I could either.
But she looks at it as also something where she's sharing a moment that, you know, this person thought about for their entire lives. And it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very, I think it's a very emotional and
it is, definitely.
Sad moment, of course. But here we go. Lauren's reading a newspaper and Jake's just giving a shave.
What do you think you're doing?
Is this sterilized?
Now, wait just a minute. I've been barbering a long time, and I never had no complaints.
That's right. No complaints.
Besides, this is clean.
No, it's not. Not if you haven't disinfected it.
He blows on it. It's like, buddy, we're coming out of a pandemic right now. Don't make jokes like this. But yeah, I mean, that, it's just crazy.
There. Now it's sterilized. You happy?
No, actually, I'm not happy. I'm very sad. I just lost a patient of mine. A customer of yours, I believe, a Mr. Barton.
That's right.
What happened to old Harry?
He died.
Died?
Died?
What did he die of?
Poisoning. From that filthy razor I warned you about a dozen times.
Do you want to talk about her dress a little bit? This strange dress?
It is kind of a weird dress. It looks very plain and very matronly, and I frankly don't like it on her. She looks very washed out in it. I mean, she looks good. She can wear pretty much anything, I'm sure, and she looks fine. I mean, she's like a beautiful woman, and you know, her hair and everything looks great, but I just,
there's nothing special about this.
No, because like usually her dresses have, it's like a pretty color, or there's like, you know, some stripes that are pretty. There's something about her, what she's wearing, that's nice. And she's usually, there are a lot of, we have talked about this before, you know, that the women just are generally seem like they're pretty well-dressed in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to like Little House on the Prairie, they seem like pretty well-dressed.
Hold on. And, no, I'm kidding.
Hey, you said it originally.
I never said that ever.
Whatever, Mark. But she tends to be, like, far and away the best dressed of all of them, generally. Mm-hmm. And this dress is just really, like, I feel like anyone you would see walking around in the background. You know, those, like,
It's like Colleen would wear this.
It's like, just like you see someone like just a townsfolk walking around in the town, you know, like wearing it. Like there's nothing spectacular about it. It's really strange. I haven't just like watched a lot of season one for a while. So I don't remember if this particular dress has surfaced in other episodes in that first season or not.
Yeah, I was.
It almost seems like she's overcompensating because when she first moved there and like in the pilot, when Charlotte points out that she's like way too fancily dressed, like, you know, she's in Boston or whatever. It almost feels like this is like overcompensation where it's like, I'll just get like the.
Yeah. The Colorado Springs collection. give me your most ill-fitting dress. Now it does not need to be taken in. Just leave it all size human.
Yeah.
So she goes on.
You killed him.
And his customers just kind of like get up and they're like,
Yeah, the guy still has like the shaving cream on his face and everything. Like the guy he was working on, and he's like, I'm out of here.
No, I couldn't find how they disinfected stuff back then. I'm going to assume alcohol or boiling. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Well, so like during the Civil War, they like kind of accidentally discovered the whole like, I don't know if I could say this, like, first time people were like, hey, if you boil stuff, it's good. Well, I mean, like, the idea had been around for a long time, whether people realized it or not. I mean, like, when people drank beer, for example, in, like, ancient Mesopotamia, and they, like, weren't getting sick and dying because, like, the water was being sanitized, you know, when they were boiling it and stuff. So that it's been around in some capacity, but as far as, like, in a medical-type setting, during the Civil War, when... the Confederacy, you know, always kind of short on supplies. They ran out, they were running out of thread to, you know, sew people up with. But then they started taking hairs from horse tails, and then the hair was too coarse to really use it for sewing up people, so they would boil it to soften it. And then they actually had a better success rate. Because, and I'm not even completely sure if they realized it was because of the boiling, but
wow,
we at least retrospectively realize that it's because they were boiling the hair, which they were doing to soften it, but then it actually was sanitizing it. So then when they'd use it to sew up these people, and the wounds actually recovered, you know, more successfully.
I never heard than they of had that. Previously. That's amazing. That's a great factoid. Like that's
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so stuff like that. But as far as and we know that, you know, say like Jake, I mean, he still is like bleeding people. So we know that he's not exactly the most advanced when it comes to his approaches to stuff like that. So would he know that boiling stuff would, you know, disinfect things? I'm not sure, but
no, I'm not against bleeding.
Yeah. Not totally. It has its place.
It has its place. all right, what's next? Here we go. So, yeah, so she kind of just blows out of there, and she's just really sickened by the entire situation.
I do have to say, like, I understand how she's feeling about it, and she's really frustrated. But I don't know. She could have pulled Jake aside or something.
Yeah, she doesn't need to storm in there and make a big presentation. But I think, I don't know, was that kind of a competitive thing a little bit?
Maybe, yeah. This is her, like, enemy. Not only does he bleed people, but he kills them with his razors.
Oddly enough.
Everybody come to my clinic.
Oddly enough, the entire town didn't come to her as she was walking into Jake's.
Right, yeah, there was no mob. Where's the mob?
Yeah, there was no mob. That was what was missing. They get into mobs more in season two, I think.
Yeah. That's when they really got the mob fashion down. And I think after Jake becomes mayor, they really get into a groove with mobs.
But so Dr. Mike is hurrying to go to Lanza Boyle, which just sounds horrifying. And hopefully she's going to use a sterilized tool. I'm assuming a scalpel of some sort. And this is the scene if people want to see the color match of Brian to his pink shirt. And yeah. It really does. It, you know, it's a funny little scene. Should I play it? I mean, I don't know. The dialogue is...
You don't have to play it. We can kind of gloss over it. She's just going in to Lance O'Boyle, and the kids are all pretty much trying to talk her into, like, going out with people. And
yeah.
She's kind of like, well, I mean, like, who? I mean, who is there? And then...
But they're like, look, you're open to it, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. So,
but
and this is like the beginnings of the Annie Hall era. She has a vest on.
That's, you know, it's a good point. But, you know, this is affecting Jake because, you know, we do learn in the future Jake is a pretty complicated guy, really.
Right, he is, yeah. And I don't know, so the scene that we're coming up on, he's, you know, just drinking his sorrows away, basically, just going and getting trashed. I don't know, I mean, because he has struggled with alcohol. We see it throughout the series. I mean, he's always in the saloon and he's drinking, but so are a lot of guys, right? I mean, like, Lauren's drinking all the time, and a lot of them are, and that's what they're doing. You know, they go hang out in the saloon at night. But Jake does have, you know, a bit more of a problem with alcohol than other people, and it does become a real, like, you know, character arc of his, you know, kind of overcoming it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely trying to cover up a lot of things that we do learn about in later episodes.
Right, and he's definitely trying to, like, you know, drink that down, drink the pain away, to use, like, really, like, you know, stereotypical kind of phrasing. He really is just kind of, like, you know, self-medicating.
But he does it well. I really think that, what is his name again? Something Shockley? William Shockley. I think he's a hell of an actor.
Totally.
I really enjoy him on screen. He also has a pretty good head of hair, which is good.
Yeah.
And
he just goes to get his, like, split ends trimmed at the barbershop, but that's it.
Who cuts his hair is what I'm wondering.
Well,
cuts his
Jake
own?
He just trims the split ends right off, you know? It's an easy cut. Okay. But anyway, what I was going to say with Jake, though, is that he has some struggles with alcohol that we see throughout the series. At this point in time, this is, like, you know, our first time that we're really seeing the alcohol being, like, an issue with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really know, like, his whole history with it, like, how long the pattern's been going on, that he's, like, drinking away his problems. I mean, like, in this particular instance, given what happened, mm-hmm. I feel really bad for him. It's, like, a lot to deal with. And just his, like, impulse to just go, like, get trash to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the one hand, I mean, it's like, okay, people have probably done this a lot. And I mean, like, I know I've done it before. You're upset about something and you drink or whatever.
Sure.
I'm not going to sound like I do it all the time or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, you get pissed about something and you drink, you know, and maybe drink a little bit more than you should.
Screw you, liver.
What?
It's like, screw you, liver.
Yeah. But
teach
I mean,
you a
so
lesson.
It's like, I would be lying if I said that I had never done that. Although in this show, people do it to a way further extent. I mean, I've never been, like, firing guns at people.
By the way, I just want to clarify one thing I just said before. So I wasn't meaning that I said William Shockley. I meant Jim Knobloch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because we're talking about.
Well, they're both
Jake.
Great actors.
No, but I'm saying he has a good head
of
hair.
So where does he
get
his haircut?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a good question. Where does he get his haircut?
But yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't. I screwed that up.
Yeah, but he plays this role really well. I totally agree. He's a phenomenal actor, and in this episode, he has so many moments where he's really vulnerable and he's very believable.
Mm-hmm.
As he's going through the whole thing, I think it's great.
But here's a little scene.
It weren't your fault, Jake. I don't care what that woman says.
Yeah, it was just an accident. I mean, it happens all the time.
Not to me, it don't.
Hey, why don't I let you shave me right now, huh?
Go on, me, you old fool!
Can a man drink in peace?
Sure. Sure, Jake, anything you say.
So Lauren walks away, and I think he really wanted that shave. He really does.
Yeah, he gives him this look like,
Yeah, he kind of goes away like a hurt puppy, or kind of the way he treats Brian sometimes.
The thing is, though, he also kind of gives him this look. And I mean, like, Jake is clearly, I mean, he's had a lot to drink. Who knows how long? He's probably been drinking since, is this the same day or the next day? I'm not completely 100% sure on the timeline.
I'm going to say it's the next day or another day because they show the outside and it's not foggy anymore.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, maybe even started the night before on kind of like this bender. He's probably been intoxicated for like, you know, since the day before. And he's clearly had a lot. And, you know, Hank and Lauren are kind of trying to comfort him, you know, and they're kind of, I appreciate that they're trying to make him feel better, but they also kind of seem to think that, almost like Jake is taking it too hard, but I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'd feel pretty bad if I were Jake, you know, like I'd feel really awful about it.
Yeah, you'd feel very responsible, like a normal person would, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like Lauren and Hank kind of act like they think that he's overreacting. Do they really think he's overreacting? Are they just trying to minimize it to make him kind of get over it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
But I feel like,
they what think he's. They definitely think that he's overreacting. Cause they don't.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like if either one of them caused the death of somebody, either directly or indirectly, they wouldn't take it as hard.
No, some people are just a little bit more callous, and they don't have it in them to have that type of empathy for other people. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
Oh, by the way, I'm going to take this screenshot. You can keep talking, but I just found an awesome background guy. All
right.
I need to show you.
Hey, give me whiskey, would you?
Just pouring him a double.
Give me another.
I think you had enough, Jake.
What are you, my mother? Set him up.
Now, it's kind of interesting that all he really did was lash out at Lauren a little bit. He really didn't do anything that... I see that guy. That's a fake mustache if I've ever seen that.
He's right next to... you posted a screenshot in our notes of the guy that had the kepi on, just like Tom.
Yeah.
So it's like, is he there for the veterans discount? And then we have next to the kepi guy, we have this guy with like this big, like, almost bowler-looking hat and an insane mustache.
Stashy sort of brow.
Sitting at the bar, staring off with, like, a dead look in his eyes.
That's really awesome. Funny. He probably just killed somebody, too.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this is bringing him back to, like, the first time he accidentally killed somebody.
That's really funny. So, I mean, I just don't think that Jake has really done anything to really warrant being cut off. You know, I mean, I think I've done worse than what he's done so far. I'm not killing people part, but you know, at a bar, you just, you know, you yell at somebody.
I mean, is he really being that bad? Yeah. I mean, we see Hank try to kill Myra when he's drunk. We see, you know, I don't know if you're there yet, cause I know you're in season six, but I mean, like, Jake does fire some shots when he gets really drunk, upset drunk. So, I mean, like, we get stuff like that from him and from other people on the show. But at this point, he's just, like, he's drunk. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a lot of people have been there, right?
Yeah.
Like, not saying that they've been there, like, kill the person thing. But, I mean, you've had too much to drink. And
I just don't think that he's had too much to drink, from what I can tell. I mean, we don't know how much he's physically consumed, which is...
Well, he does... He is pretty stumbly.
Yeah, but it's also 1868 or 67, depending. I don't know.
How does that relate to how much he's drinking?
Because before the Prohibition, people drank a lot more than what they drink now.
People definitely drank a lot more, but I think...
And you weren't driving.
He is clearly intoxicated, is what I'm saying. Where people definitely drank a lot more, and it was part of sort of daily life in a way that is, you know, not totally replicated since in some ways.
I just don't think he's done anything really to warrant being cut off. But, you know, we don't know how much he's drank. So.
And also I'm sort of surprised that Hank would cut anybody off. But
yeah, I mean, if you're a paying customer.
Mm-hmm. And even later in the episode, he's like, I'm not responsible for Jake's morality. So.
Right. Hey, Jake.
Hey.
And that's Myra. That's old Myra.
Yeah. This is Myra and her... this is the scene where she has her really crazy little top on.
Yeah, this is friendly Myra wearing her her bloomers out.
Yeah, well, she just has this, like, just for people who are listening to know what we're talking about, when you've watched this episode, if you notice Myra's outfit, which the material looks very nice, she has this shawl that matches it perfectly, but it's just, like, this very, like,
revealing.
How would you describe it?
It's a very, it's not even that it's so, like, revealing. It looks
it's
like
just
something.
Like, it exactly looks like her body shape. Let's say that.
Yeah, it's very form-fitting, but it also looks kind of like a 90.
Yeah, something. And it has kind of like a lingerie look to it.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Jake, I hate to see you worrying yourself. Lauren's right, you didn't mean no harm.
I don't feel like talking.
Get your hands off Myra.
Mm-hmm. Well, so by the way, because we've had conversations, I don't remember if we've done it, like when we've been recording or just mostly off air or maybe both, but I'm always kind of looking for clues throughout the series of like who of like the main cast are, you know, using the prostitutes and stuff.
Right.
And this is like one of my scenes of evidence where I'm like, Jake definitely has. And he does, in combination, like not just because he's like all drunk and upset right now, but this scene in combination with some other commentary that he makes about women and makes about the prostitutes throughout the series, I'm like, Jake has definitely used the prostitutes.
I think that in other scenes from other episodes, there's definitely evidence. I think that with this particular one, though, it could be argued that the only reason that he's going to take this leap with Myra is because he's wasted.
Well, sure, but also, even if it is just because he's wasted, I think with his character, we're supposed to believe he's been wasted plenty of times before.
No,
so.
I agree. It's I think they've all been. We should all believe that the male characters, for the most part, have definitely been to the back room of Hank's. Do you notice what the walls are wallpapered with?
I don't
newspaper.
Know. Newspaper. Yeah, look at that. Okay.
All but throughout the entire saloon.
Well, Hank's probably like, it's not good for reading. Who reads?
What a read. We don't need that reading here.
Jake, you're hurting me. Stop, Jake, let go.
Manhandling the merchandise. For what? I don't want to hurt you.
Who's gonna hurt who?
Come on, Jake. This is stupid.
Who the hell's the whore for, anyhow?
Boris?
Or maybe you're saving it for yourself.
Just watch your mouth!
Ooh. See, that's one of those things where I know that Jake is drunk right now and everything.
Yeah.
But he says this comment that definitely cuts Hank because it's true.
Yeah, totally. He's like, I love her. It's my girl. But yeah, he's gone. They're going through this fight. And
come on, Jake.
They're kind of fighting like punks, too. Like, this is the way I would be in a fight. You just kind of, you get up and then you run at the person back first.
Yeah. I just want to point out that Hank's little apron is like the size of a napkin. It's just like a little.
Are you flipping burgers back there, buddy? It is. Is like it's like a total like. It's like you. What are you, a stripper in the back with that thing on?
I don't need you. I don't need any.
And he pulls off a good drunk. You know, he really does. I mean,
Yeah, and we see this at other times throughout the series, too, that he is very good at playing this role.
I see we fast forward a little bit here. As we enter the 13th minute of the episode, we have hit our 1 hour, 4 minute mark.
That's what we do.
Welcome, Dr. Queencast. Please subscribe. But Colleen is in the library. I mean, the store, looking at like the 18 books that they have on the shelf. and looking for a book on men. Grace shows up, and I don't know, they're just kind of having this little banter about getting a book about men. Can I ask, I forget who this woman is at, like, 1440, the blonde.
Emily.
What was her deal like? Because I completely forgot.
Well, so we first meet her at the beginning of the series, remember, when she was in Epidemic and her husband died.
She had a baby and stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she moves away at the end of the first season.
Oh, okay.
I personally think is kind of a shame, because I do like this woman and her character. Like, she seems very, very sweet and very nice. I think she's maybe a little bit of like a simple person, which I don't mean that as like an insult, but she, I think, is just kind of, but she's just like very, she's just nice. I like her. And she's always like, she's very accepting too, like of Dr. Mike too. And a lot of people, even the women in the town, aren't.
Yeah. I kind of liked her. I remember, and I forgot about her.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's only there for a short time. Yeah.
So, Brian goes right up to Lauren. He has something that is kind of interesting that he wants to ask this man who's at least twice her age.
I know, right? He's just really grasping at straws here.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, because this is all visual, so it's no point in us playing it, but anybody out there, when you're watching, if you haven't already noticed, watch when Hank comes up with his bag of coffee and, like, throws it at Lauren.
It is funny when you do
to
it.
To pay for like... it.
Because he's writing something and it's just like, boom, throws this like six-pound bag of coffee.
You like my ma, don't you?
What's that got to do with anything?
She saved your life, didn't she?
Yes, I suppose she did. How are you going to pay for those candies or ain't you?
How about you courting her?
What?
It looks horrible. It's like somebody stabbed him. What? What?
Don't you think
she's... that lady, doctor?
Boy, you have had some fool ideas in your day, but this one just about takes the cake. Now go on, get out of here.
I swear, Sean Tuvey pulls it off. I mean, he's getting yelled at, right? He's just looking at him like, not losing the fact that he's in character. I don't know, it's just... I really like the Sean Tuvey character. He's really,
I mean, for a child actor, he's pretty good. I mean, he's picks up on like the little nuances of the role and everything in ways that children actors don't always.
Yeah, he worked hard. Mm-hmm. But so they go on talking a little bit about it.
You in the dock, huh?
Do you want to wipe that smirk off your face, or would you like me to do it for you?
So, always like this like little banter, but yeah, when Hank leaves, you got to see the way he's like checking out this
This is one of my absolute like favorite Hank moments. And I feel like just everything about it is just like perfection. I mean, the timing and like his body language, and it's one of those like visual things that just tells you so much about him as a person.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, too, because Colleen is reading out loud from a book, and it's talking about the moral character of somebody, and it's just the complete opposite of what Hank is.
Yep.
But we love Hank.
We do love Hank. I mean, he's the bad guy, but we love him.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about Dr. Mike's possible surprise party.
Here you go. Thank you.
What about the gift?
Well, I got Robert E. working on it, and I already got the menu planned. Boston baked beans, Boston chowder, and for dessert, Boston cream pie.
None of that stuff would taste good together, by the way. Not a good
idea.
But it
all has Boston in the name, so it must be good.
What about beer?
Yeah, Boston beer. Sam Adams.
Sam Adams.
Yum. Sure that won't make her homesick?
Nobody gets sick off of my cooking.
Yeah, Boston baked beans, maybe. What are Boston baked beans? I know there's a candy called Boston baked beans.
You know, I actually don't know if I've ever had them.
I'm going to look it up. So
beans, what kind of city is known for bloody beans? that comes from Frasier when they visit Boston with Daphne. And she'd never been there, and she was all, like, excited to get crabs. And then I was just like, no, that's Maine that's known for crabs. What is Boston known for? Beans. Beans? What kind of city is known for bloody beans?
Beantown. I love Boston. Boston's a great place. So basically everybody's getting hit up on to make a move on Michaela, even the rapper.
Yeah, they're like pimping her out at this point practically.
Yeah, like
not exactly, but they're all just like really just like desperately searching for anybody who's willing to spend time with her and yeah. take her out.
And the Reverend takes her for a buggy ride, which I thought was really uncomfortable.
Super uncomfortable. He's all like, bam, I want to get married and have a bunch of kids. And she's like, yikes.
Right. But he has no interest at first. And he's like, oh, wait, that Michaela? You
know? Yeah, it is weird that he didn't have interest. And then suddenly he's all like, I should get married and go forth and multiply. And you might just be the lady to do it with yeah. me. But it's just very weird. He changes his mind about that really fast. And this is the second time that he's been in a weird sort of capacity with Dr. Mike in this way.
I thought it was a little presumptuous as well for the Reverend to actually, the way he was talking to her about it, I thought was...
I think he assumes that she would just be like, yeah, I'll marry the Reverend, which granted, like, in the second season, she kind of almost is like, well, he is offering and nobody else is.
Right.
But it's almost like he assumes, like, well, I'm the Reverend, I'm, like, a respectable, upstanding man, you're an unmarried woman. Like, oh, you're 35. Of course you want to, like, take me up on this offer, because what are your other options?
Right. Well, it was Lauren.
Well, yeah.
So here we are. Sully's in the mercantile looking around. I always like this Lauren and Sully kind of tone that they kind of have between each other. And he just kind of scurries away once he gets Lauren's attention. He's looking at a really nice dress, and that's definitely a Michaela dress, right?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of would expect her to be wearing this dress at some point.
Yeah.
I bet she completely wears this dress at some point. We have to keep our eyes open for this. Those blue ribbons will not be forgettable. With the purple hat, I guess they don't really match, but...
Mm-hmm. Like I think the hat comes separate.
Yeah. Sully's song.
I do like the music in this episode a lot.
But this is the sad Sully song, because all he has is a handful of change.
Just a handful of twig coin.
Twig coin. Should have had Dogecoin, buddy. No, we don't accept Dogecoin.
Now get out, scram.
What you gawking at?
Nothing.
I still think it's kind of strange. Their dynamic is so odd. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, definitely Lauren looks at him as the guy who... is possibly just responsible on some level for the death.
Daughter's death, yeah. And even after, because this is after the healing, which maybe was less of a complete healing than we would have hoped for. I mean, Lauren comes around as far as the land and everything, and Sully very generously donated his blood, but we still see this very strained relationship with them, which granted, I mean, it takes time for people to build different relationships with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see them start to regard each other in somewhat of a different fashion. Yeah, I don't know. They just have a very, like, he's very mad, you know, Lauren's kind of cranky all the time. And especially at this point in time, he's a very cranky old guy, and he's very mad at Sully, and then Sully being what Sully is, he doesn't exactly blend in with society at the best of times, so with Lauren in the picture.
Well, here's Michaela thanking Sully for watching the kids, and
And Little Wolf is, by the way, hanging out.
If you'll notice. Is he? Yeah. Of course
he is. He kind of pops up, like, when they kind of move around, like, in this little scene. You kind of see Wolf. He's just sort of like, hanging out.
Damn, Wolf.
Yeah, wonder who Pup is.
Hello? How was your buggy ride yesterday?
How was your buggy ride?
Yeah, so here's the thing. So he was so, like, testy earlier that he didn't want to, like, you know, go out with her. He maybe doesn't even want to go to her party. And then he's, like, mocking her.
Yeah.
For going on this buggy ride with the Reverend, which he even offered to watch the kids, maybe in an effort. I mean, because he says later on in the series that at first, when he had feelings for her, he was trying to, like, kind of push it away and convince himself that he didn't have feelings for her. So he's trying to kind of, like, keep this distance. So maybe he's like, if she goes on a buggy ride with the Reverend, then, like, if she likes it and she goes off with the Reverend, like, problem solved. Like, I don't have to worry about this anymore.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a negative way, because he obviously has this, he has feelings for her, but he's trying to, like, cope with it. But he also is, because because he has feelings for her, even if he's trying to not have them, he's his emotions are kind of getting the better of him, and he just can't hold back from, like, kind of being a little sarcastic when he says that.
Yeah, I think he's it's just right off the bat, their relationship is just really, really complicated.
Yeah, definitely.
But here we go.
It's very nice, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for looking after the children.
Well, you know I like spending time with them.
I know, they enjoy it as well. Brian's taught the puppy a new trick I know he'd like to show you.
Where is the puppy? Myra,
what is it? It's Jake, he's not answering his door.
Oh, leave him alone. He's on a binge. He closes up.
You see Wolf?
Yeah, I see Wolf. That's all I'm looking at, actually. And he's just like, hey, anybody got any treats? Bacon? Say, a little piece of cheese?
He's looking a little chubby.
Yeah, like, he's definitely eating the scraps. There's a future episode that I was just cracking up when Wolf was eating cake. And he wouldn't stop eating.
Oh, yeah, Katie's birthday party. He's just like, my cake.
He wouldn't stop eating it. It's so funny.
Chop every once in a while. Well, he ain't hurting nobody.
He ain't never been on one this long, Mark.
Well, it ain't like him not to open up on a Monday morning.
And Myra's wearing another revealing type outfit. I didn't notice that it's purple. I thought it was black.
Is it purple?
Yeah, it's purple on the, yeah.
I was thinking it was black, too, when I was watching it. But it's like a very, it's weird because it's very, at the time when this show was filmed, I could almost see someone wearing this shirt. Like, they bought it at, like, Hot Topic or something. but she also is totally pulling it off.
Yeah, like, it's probably, like, hers. Like, she's like, well, you know, she's just wearing it. Like, you know what, wear that, just put the skirt and the shawl on.
Yeah.
You're good to go. But this is really funny you pointed out how they get into the actual barbershop.
You're gonna have to pay for that glass.
Like, there's a man dying. There's a man dying. He's passed out. It's like, you're gonna pay for that glass? It's a nickel.
Yeah. That's like Lauren. He's all worried. Well, part of it, I think, is like that he doesn't like Sully, but also he's always thinking about the money, right? He's thinking more about the money than about people.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't just go around breaking glass like that and not pay for it. I think it would be awesome if Sully just turns around like, here, and like throws the money at him that he just had in the store, like when he was looking at the dress.
Like two like pennies?
Yeah. Take it.
Here, take it. Can I get change on that? Michaela, can you pay him? You owe me money for rent. I think you owe me like
$1. Can you advance pay next month?
Exactly. Those windows don't look broken, actually, when they walk in.
But yeah.
I think it's only the close-up.
He's alive.
Well, of course he is.
Silly taps him with the tomahawk. It's kind of fun.
Lauren is so dismissive, too, and she's like, well, he's alive. Well, of course he is. I mean, he clearly isn't doing well.
He doesn't give any credit to her.
Thank the Lord.
He just passed out, that's all.
No, it's more serious than that.
What, he hit his head?
No, it's alcohol poisoning.
How could she determine that? Seriously.
Just like instantly. Just because she knew he'd been drinking a lot, I guess. What? I don't know.
That doesn't make... I mean, I don't know. If we're led to believe he only drank this one bottle, I mean, how are you getting alcohol? I'm not saying it can't be. It's just... Right. What? Just, it seems like a quick diagnosis.
Well, and... He's been, I mean, I suppose on a bender for at least the whole weekend. I don't know. We know it's Monday morning now. I don't know what day the death and everything happened. But we talked about it at the saloon. We thought maybe it was like the next day. Then is it maybe the next day we have the church and the reverend thing? And then this is Monday. So it's been, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days now that he's been kind of drinking the whole time.
Yeah.
Has it just been the one bottle, or is this like just his latest bottle? I don't know that we have like solid evidence. We do know that he keeps, because he took that bottle from the saloon, but we do know that he keeps his own stuff at the shop too, because Lauren goes and dumps it out.
And he hides it as well. Right. So, I mean, these are all, of course, indicative like moments to let us know he's like, he's an alcoholic really.
Right. Yeah.
And has issues that he's been dealing with. Here we go.
What are you gonna do?
I've got to pump his stomach. Try to get as much of the alcohol out of his system as I can.
What if that doesn't work?
He's jaundiced. He probably has liver damage. If there's too much alcohol in his bloodstream already...
Oh, you're not telling me a man can die just from drinking too much?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Wolf is very worried.
Yeah, well, Wolf's like, you know, what are you guys moving so quickly? Slow down. Trying to catch up. Ding, ding, ding. We need a bell on his neck. Like, ding, 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 ding. Hey, Sully, we're going to go back to the lean-to later?
Yeah.
I want to take a nap on your tuxedo.
I just got the new Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed.
If Jake does make it, the next few days are going to be very difficult for him. He's going to have withdrawal as the alcohol leaves his system. It's called delirium tremens.
The DTs, he's had them before.
Well, this time the lab will be much worse. I could give him a sedative, but that could just make it worse. It could compound the problem.
All right, so that's an interesting thing that she just said. I could give him a sedative, but later it does appear that she does give him a sedative.
Maybe at that point, because he's at least more conscious.
Maybe.
Because at this point, he's still basically just passed out. I mean, he's completely pretty much unaware that they just carried him from the barbershop to the clinic. No. Although, I must point out that he has some nice pants on. I like it. Striped pants.
Do you want to read what Joanne Trabosch wrote in our Dr. Quinn Cast Facebook group when you said that?
Yeah,
we were
because we're just about to kind of go into the scene where he's going through withdrawals. And Joanne commented in our Facebook group, which if you join our Facebook group, we frequently post about episodes that we're about to review. And if you have any questions or commentary, we appreciate you reaching out and letting us know.
Yeah, totally.
So awesomely, Joanne was one of the people that reached out to us. And she said that she has just happened to finish watching this episode earlier today, and that, you know, the show's only 1 hour long and some things have to be condensed, but a person going through the DTs wouldn't recover as quickly as Jake does.
I mean, even if we're led to believe that this is a matter of 2 or 3 days, I mean, it's, yeah, I would imagine it would take a lot longer to recover to the point where you're just kind of up and running around like there's no problem.
Yeah, and
want another drink, you know, at that point.
Yeah, like he basically is up enough that he's just like, I'm ready to have more alcohol, and she's like, you still have a lot of alcohol in your system, but he also seems like he's... Oh, he did sort of... and a half-ass way make the bed, which is more than I do most days.
I've never made a bed.
What's the point? I'm going to get in it again.
It's fine. And Marissa Baker also made a comment, not about this particular scene, but she does want to know if a particular bag was ever used again. It was like a saddlebag?
Yeah, and yeah, I'll we don't have to know. Observe more closely. I think maybe she does, because like, I'm sort of trying to piece it together, because we see her with the saddlebags on the saddle, and we know like in the second season when she gets Flash that Sully makes her a saddle. And I think she uses those bags on that saddle, I'm pretty sure. Mm. But I will pay closer attention to look for little clues.
By the way, Michaela's hair is, it looks great. It's all perfectly curled.
Yeah.
In this scene. But,
yeah. I'll... Which, by the way, remember when she said when she was a kid she wanted curly hair? She
yeah.
She could never get it to stick.
Now she
doesn't
has
have
it.
That problem anymore.
No. She uses Clairol.
Yeah.
I'll be right here. Don't worry.
Me too.
Just don't let him die, please.
Sully, if you just give me the money ahead of time for that window, we'll take care of that right now. Might want to just, you know, take care of that. You broke the window. It'd be very Lauren.
Yeah, right.
But Lauren really cares about Jake. I don't know. I think it's I mean, they're just two businessmen, right? I mean, they've known each other for probably a very long time.
He does seem to care more about Jake than he does about most people.
Yeah, it's kind of true. Maybe that's why he took it so bitterly when the relationship between Jake and Dorothy seemed to be flourishing.
Mm, which I have issues with, but we can get into that another time.
I gotta tell you, I'm a Dorothy fan.
But, like, her and Jake, okay, even though, like, you know that Dorothy's not my favorite character, but even, like, if you love Dorothy, like, her and Jake together just didn't sit right with me.
Well, I've said it before, there aren't too many eligible bachelors, and there are not too many eligible bachelorettes. So, really, there's only, for the most part, Dorothy. Dorothy's, like, the only one.
True, I guess. I mean, Emily got married off right away in the first season, so.
I mean, Colleen, she's untouchable. You need a degree to get anywhere near Colleen. But, all right, so here we go. We're going through the withdrawals.
It's all right, Jake.
This is pretty dramatic, you know. And I will say that I have his name here. Jim Knobloch. I'm going to guess that's how you pronounce it. He really gave it his all in this scene, I thought.
Yeah.
This is really dramatic.
Very convincing.
Calm down. Calm down.
We got you, Jake. Calm down. Calm down, Jake. Easy.
So it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of an audio type thing.
Yeah, it's a lot like visual and audio, but
it's worth seeing. It's definitely worth watching if you just wanted
to. And I do like to, I mean, like, we talked about how Lauren really, you know, cares about Jake in a genuine way that he doesn't seem to, you know, feel that way about very many people, but Sully is there the whole time too, helping with holding him down and with the whole thing, which, on the one hand, what better does he have to do, I guess, but also he's really, it's just surprising to me, like, the people who help each other on this show. Because, like, Sully and Jake have, like, no real connection to each other.
Well, lately I've been giving Sully a really tough time on the show. Because when he gets to season 6, he makes a lot of questionable decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm going to commit federal crimes and not ask my wife first.
Well, I also understand, like, somebody like Marissa Baker, she's watching the show as a new show, so I don't want to just, like, throw too many spoilers out there. Mm-hmm. But you know, definitely questionable decisions are made, but then I look at a situation like this, where he's helping this guy who maybe he knows, but certainly not close with, but he's helping him get through this really horrible experience.
Right.
Now, we all kind of maybe need a friend like Sully.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolf. More Wolf.
And the tomahawk.
And the tomahawk.
Sully. Listen, about what Brian said,
That stuff about being our pa.
Now, I know Brian misses his pa. But I gotta be able to make up my own mind about things.
I think Sully's been taking the curling iron to his hair, too.
Yeah. Like, give me that before it cools off.
I'll come to the party, at least.
I don't know yet.
Sully, I thought you and Dr. Mike were friends. Best friends. I know I'd want my best friend to come to my birthday party.
Matt's like, don't you want to hit that?
I mean, Sully is being really sullen about the party because this would be a situation where even if he's really trying to push her away, it's a party that, like, people at the town are just going to be at. And granted, he's kind of an outsider in the town.
Yeah.
But, like, just going to the birthday party doesn't make any, like, sweeping declaration of love.
Sure it does.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, the way that he ends up doing it, yeah. But he could just go there. He doesn't have to kiss her or give her saddlebags.
Matthew, it's a little more complicated than that.
No, it's not.
His nails are all messed up.
He's been,
No, like, look at this. Go to, if you could, go to 2517. His right hand is on the pole.
Yeah.
His hand
I'm getting there.
Kind of weird looking.
Sorry, I'm like trying to get there.
I know. I'm going to. What? Like, what is that? They like square it off or something. Like, was he really sharpening that knife and he slipped? Those are filthy. I'm like looking at my hand.
They almost look diseased, honestly.
Yeah,
like they kind of look like in those like commercials for like the like toe fungus and athlete's foot. Yeah. Like what the nails look like. They kind of look like that.
Don't bite your nails. Oh my god. I don't know, maybe it's just a weird angle or something. Now
this
I'm gonna...
is what happens when you sleep with your wolf day in and day out.
Wakes up, wolf's like gnawing on his hand.
Yeah.
Get off that!
Like, I really would like to see the arrangement of, like, Wolf and Sully in the lean-to, like, overnight.
On a cold night.
And I just
night.
Say this as a person who owns dogs that, like, sleep in the bed with me, and they have, like, specific, like, sleeping styles. I'm really curious of, like, what it is. Like, you know, is Wolf, does he curl up by Sully's head? Does he curl up by his feet? Is he kind of, like, on the side?
He
you know,
lays he lays right on top of him with his legs fully spread.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. I think, anyway.
What I'm saying is, you wait too long, she's liable to find a new best friend.
The Reverend! Not the Reverend.
I'll be your friend, Sully. You don't want to lose your new best friend. You've known her now for 11 episodes.
Whose curling iron are you going to use then?
Where are you going to plug it in? At your lean, at your lean-to. So Jake's composed himself enough to...
Want to get another drink.
Yeah, he's like, I'm, you know, if I'll stay, but you got to give me a little drink.
Right.
But you know, sometimes when people are going through these detoxes, I call them, I don't know, the... name the Latin seeming naming that Michaela called it before, but
delirium tremens.
Yeah, like I guess. And is it Latin? Yeah, I guess it's. So it's, from what I understand, people can go through seizures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When they're going through that, and they say that if you're going through a seizure, the best thing that you can do is actually give the person alcohol to, mm-hmm. like, snap them out of it. So it's a very scary situation,
yeah.
to put your body through. And just, it's a horrifying situation, that's all.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
But here we go. We're going to play a little bit of where Michaela says, you're not going to go anywhere.
No! Open this door! Don't let me out of here! Do that door right!
Now, there's a window in there.
Yeah, just break the window. You can pay for it later.
Well, don't break it. You have to pay for it. You just open it up and walk right out of it.
Okay,
you
know? Fine. Fine. Do it that way.
Fine. It was Sully, you know, tomahawk right through the window.
I've got a business to run.
How come Michaela has rooms in her facility where she can lock people in?
Well, it was a boarding house before, so I suppose people would maybe lock their rooms for privacy at night.
Yeah, but why would you want to be locked in? You know what I mean? Seems kind of like more mental institution type situation. Yeah, usually you don't lock people into things. There's a way out.
You can't keep me in here forever!
He's right about that.
I'm trying to save his life, don't you understand?
I understand you can't force a man to do something that he's not ready to do.
And if he kills himself meantime, I couldn't live with that.
It's funny because Sully's talking about going to the dance.
Right, but although coming up is like one of my all-time favorite Sully lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right, I put that on the notes.
Oh, I didn't. Who reads your notes?
Yeah, screw you, Mark.
This podcast is over. Here we go.
Think you can change what he does, what he feels?
Go. Do whatever you want. It's your life.
And it's a quick shot, and he's like, I'll have a strawberry margarita.
Yeah, so clearly Sully's, like, talking about himself at first, and maybe is still talking about himself when he gives that line. Do you think he can change the way, you know, the way he is, the way that he feels, you know? Like, which I think is just, like, a great line, the way that he delivers it, and whether he's talking just about himself or just about Jake or both. I mean, it really is, like, a powerful line in his delivery of it. And the whole feel of the scene, like, the lighting and everything, I think is just, like, great. And it has this, like, feel that we kind of is very unique to the first season, I think.
I agree with you. It's really one of those moments where you start falling in love with the character a bit. Because that's the Sully I kind of miss right there. He's the... really kind of a deep, deep thinker. You don't know what to expect.
It is a thing that, you know, we see Michaela kind of have to come to terms with and kind of struggle against repeatedly throughout the series. It's really a character trait of hers that she really thinks that she can just change people, you know, just that she can just exert her, you know, will, her ideals, whatever on them. And then it's just going to work every time. And it doesn't. And, you know, this is something that even like, this is sort of setting the tone of their relationship with each other, where Sully often kind of has to bring her back into check and kind of give like that balance and ground her a little bit when she gets, you know, a little bit carried away. And granted, she has very good intentions. She has really good intentions here for Jake. But just her locking him in the room right now isn't going to fix, you know, the problem. And Sully really recognizes that Jake has an issue, which is not just the drinking, but it's just manifested in the drinking that he has, you know, she's not going to fix the like emotional issues that Jake has that
also
makes him act the way that he does.
He needs to actually want this. I think that's something people even talk about now that, you know, with any form of addiction is unless you want to stop, you're not going to stop.
And, right.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. Now, we get to my favorite part of this entire episode anyway, where Hank is coming to see Jake and talks to Michaela in a way that we don't normally see Hank talking to anyone.
Yeah, it's kind of cute in a way.
Yeah, I was like, what? And she, I don't care what anyone says, she's batting her eyes at him.
Oh, she's eating it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes?
I was wondering if I could pay Jake a sick call.
It's very Jack Nicholson right there, by the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes he does kind of channel a little bit of a Jack Nicholson, I think. A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Too late.
I can see that.
I mean, he left. He went home.
It's too late. I didn't catch that. I think I caught that the first time. I didn't catch it this time. It's too late, meaning he's dead.
How is he?
You really care?
Yeah, I care. I wouldn't have come all the way over here.
All the way over here.
It's like across the street.
It's 31 feet.
Yes, well, that's a long trip.
Never seen you smile before.
Oh, that's not true. I smile. I smile a lot.
Not around me.
Well, I've never seen you express such concern over a fellow human being before.
Jake's my friend.
If he really is your friend, we should talk.
Want to get some coffee at Grace's?
Yes.
After you.
He calls her ma'am, even.
He kind of checks her out a little bit as she walks by. It's so funny.
He's wearing those blue pants I like, too.
He's like Mr. Pinstripe. But, you know, it's we like Hank. We're fans of Hank, you know.
Yeah.
It's, I kind of would love it if, like, there was an episode where it was, like, Hank and Michaela kind of trying to get this to work. It would be a total train wreck. They go over to Grace's, and Colleen is hanging out with Grace, and they're just like, what is this all about?
Grace just has this look on her face, like, she has the best expressions.
Yeah, like, and she also had an interesting expression earlier when Colleen said, don't you think it'll make her homesick? And it's like, what? Like,
now I'm going to get sick from my cooking.
Yikes. So here we go.
She's this fancy. Is
some of the dinner talk.
New today on the menu. Wild turkey.
No, thank you. The coffee's just fine.
And you do point out that, you know, Wild Turkey, of course, is the name of a whiskey. I don't know if it dates all the way back to this time, though. It could. Yeah. Definitely could, though.
Yeah.
So you're from Boston, huh?
That's right.
I've been there once.
You were?
Yeah. Beacon Hill. Real pretty.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Got small hands.
Excuse me?
Feel delicate. Must be good for stitching people up.
Well, yes, they are.
So nice of you to notice. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Let me see.
And then, like, she holds her hand up, and it's, like, a third of the size of his.
But not only that, they're just, I think she realizes just for a moment that they're kind of holding hands. And it's just, and she's smiling like, we just made out.
I really appreciate your concern over Jake.
Yeah. Are you gonna be okay?
Well, he's over the alcohol poisoning, yes, but if he doesn't stop drinking altogether...
He ain't gonna stop drinking.
You could help.
How am I supposed to do that?
Stop serving him.
What?
If you refuse him service, you'll have no choice.
Yeah, well, no choice but to go to the saloon in the next town.
Well, you are partly responsible for the condition he's in.
Hold on. That's Jake's problem, not mine.
Do you think he's responsible for the actions of a grown man?
No, I don't.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, yeah, he's the instrument through which Jake is acquiring whiskey. However, even if he didn't go to the saloon, I mean, he could just go to Lauren's store and buy whiskey and, like, drink it himself, right?
Right.
Hank goes to Lauren's store to buy whiskey.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's kind of a weird thing.
And at least, like, when Jake... I would say at least when Jake is going to the saloon to drink, I mean, at least he's being somewhat social about it instead of just sitting at home and, you know, downing a bottle of whiskey a night or whatever.
Right, if he goes home and drinks alone, he probably would drink more.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, really, it's, like, it's not Hank's fault that Jake drinks too much. He can't be responsible. He can't be, like, responsible for Jake's actions or his morality.
Yeah.
It's not his place. I mean, it's like, you could apply that to any number of things, you know, that people are, anything that in moderation is, you know, totally acceptable, but if you have too much, it's bad for you. I mean, that applies to a lot of things, not just alcohol. It applies to certain types of food, really. Sure. I mean, almost anything. I mean, if somebody is eating a pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they have health problems,
right,
you can't, like, blame the pizza place for it.
Right. It's the person who's indulging, and they're doing the indulging. I mean, they could... I think that it's actually kind of childish to say that it's Hank's fault on any level.
You'd come down off your high horse for a minute, you'd see that you're the one that drove him to drink. It's because he had that little accident.
You call someone dying a little accident?
What was I thinking? I had to be crazy. Any man put up with your harping's got to be loony.
Any man who doesn't care about his friends isn't much of a man.
Don't worry, Michaela. You're man enough for both of us.
Well, I never...
Yeah, maybe that's the problem.
Classic Hank.
I love that exchange.
Me too. I really like it. I like how 30 seconds before that they're holding hands.
I know. I know, it's great.
Like the quickest romance and crash.
Yeah.
I did look up what Boston baked beans consists of.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially navy beans with a bacon, onion, molasses, and some of your basic like ketchup and mustard and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And some brown sugar.
Interesting. That sounds like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it seems I don't know if it would be something I would eat, but yikes. Sounds a little heavy. heavy. So they're just kind of arguing, wanting to place blame. Michaela's looking for a solution, I guess. I don't know. I mean, what's the point of blaming somebody? I mean, it's too
late. Yeah. Well, and it's a little weird that she is so, like, personally invested in that Jake has a problem. I mean, I get that she's the doctor and she helped him come back from it, but... it's kind of also not really her problem either, other than that she did her duty as a doctor, right? If she can maybe, like, give him some advice, like, you know, if you want to turn your life around, if you want to, you know, this is not going to be good for you. But she's just taking a little bit too much responsibility.
This is where the show can get a little heavy-handed, I think, with some stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, you would think she's going to form, like, Alcoholics Anonymous or something at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so Hank's, you know, not Hank, I'm sorry, Jake is at the bar and he's having a few drinks. And, you know, Jake is another person. He's always dressed kind of okay and really looks good. He's got the vests on.
And, like, the striped pants.
I don't recall him ever being a slob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What the?
I saved your life.
Like you said, it's my life.
But I refuse to stand here and watch you drink it away again.
Don't let some woman tell you what to do.
Some woman. I didn't listen the first time.
And also, his vest is crazy.
I was going to say it again. It reminds me of, like, Charlie Brown's shirt in a way. But not at all, really. But, it, like, what is that? Like, what?
Weird.
So strange.
No.
And his shirt looks like it might be made of, like, silk or satiny. It's kind of shiny.
The vest almost looks like it's made out of, like, a striped towel or something.
Yeah, I don't know. He pulls it off, though.
Somehow it works.
It somehow works. But you know what ties it all together is the the belt with the revolver.
Jake, listen to me. I can help lead you through this. God will show me.
Where did the Reverend come from, by the way?
Yeah, I didn't see him when, like, Michaela first walked in. So is he, like, hovering outside and then he pops in?
Does he just spend all day at the bar, like, telling people to stop drinking?
Like, waiting for his cue.
Exactly.
Show us both the way. But you have to let us. You have to let us show you the way to salvation.
I know the way to salvation.
We're seeing the horses in the background. Jake is like even more wasted than before.
Yeah, and this is where he gets like super, super desperate.
Yeah, this is a crazy, I think. If you've ever gone to a barber shop, I don't think you have. Maybe you have, or even seen a movie in a barber shop. But they have this, you know, blue liquid that is basically a sanitizer, and it's, you know, it's called Barbicide. It was invented in 1947, and it's essentially, it kills anything that you put in it for the most part.
Yeah.
So,
right. So he has like a bottle that looks like that, which if it's supposed to be that, it's kind of chronologically not correct.
But it could be something else. Maybe it's like just grain alcohol.
I don't know.
Or isopropyl alcohol. I don't know if that exists.
It's just this like bright blue looking stuff that looks really unpleasant to drink.
And he just downs it. Like you hear, I'm sure you heard stories about people who,
mouthwash
or hand sanitizer or these things that are just not meant to be consumed. You're
vanilla
like,
I
consume that. What do you mean? I don't know what the deal is with vanilla extract, to be honest with you. I know it's like,
I've heard 80 you can proof. Get drunk on it.
Well, it's like 80 proof, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, like, I guess if you,
that little bottle, I guess, is equivalent to maybe close to a shot. So if you really want to, I don't think that would be poisonous. Personally, maybe it is. I really don't know. Let's find out.
I was just going to say, I'm going to Google it because I seem to remember it being like a big problem.
You're live. Or like, you know, NyQuil and all the, well, no, NyQuil's
Robotripping.
Robotussin?
Yeah, Robotripping. That's like what it's called.
I forgot about that. That's like a total 90s thing.
Just like this show.
Yeah.
Jake is robo-tripping.
He kind of is, yeah. So, yeah, he downs this stuff, which is clearly not meant to be consumed. And we get a little visit from Cloud Dancing. And this is what was interesting. What is Cloud Dancing's name in real life?
Larry Sellers.
Yeah, Larry Sellers. So, normally, Larry Sellers would be the Native American consultant that is on. But we actually have a different consultant on this particular episode. Her name is Bonnie Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And she would be the consultant for another 25 episodes. I mean, another 24 episodes of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. And we have her live right here. No, we don't. But, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. I thought for some reason that he was on I thought he was the consultant across the board.
Right. Yeah. I had not noticed that particularly in this episode. And also before we get too far away from it.
Yeah.
So vanilla extract is 35% to 40% alcohol, which puts it pretty much on par with a lot of other, you know, liquors.
But that's stronger than a liqueur. You know, that really is hard alcohol.
But while this website article estimates that 4 to 5 ounces would get a person drunk, the cost of that would be $12 to $48.
Oh my god.
So, it would be pretty expensive and you might as well just, you know.
You know, if it was earlier right now, what I would do is I would connect my phone and we would call up a couple Dollar Trees, right? And ask if they have vanilla extract. And say, like, look, you know, all right, 4 to 5 ounces, you know, it's like $4 or $5. Still cheaper to get a bottle of something nasty. That's so funny. But if you're in a pinch and you need to clean a wound. I cut myself and I had nothing else to use. I put vanilla extract. It was very painful, but it smells delicious. Wolf, stop licking it.
Oh, man, if I, like, get a cut or something, my dog is, like, all over it.
Dub, it's like dab, 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 dab. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, they, you know, they should use vanilla extract in, like, Band-Aids. So Band-Aids smell better, yeah. Scrap.
You're right.
Oops. You're right. I think we have,
They should use it in Band-Aids.
You're right. Thank you, Michaela. Oh, that would have been perfect. I'll have to cue that up a little bit better. But basically, Michaela gives a little bit of insight about why she's treating Jake the way that she's been treating him.
No one has the right to tell anyone else how to run their lives. It's your choice.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I skipped over a whole thing. Like, I'm going back. I apologize.
Oh, the cloud dancing thing?
Yeah. Is that worth playing, you think? Or?
I mean, we always like hearing from cloud dancing.
Yeah, that's why I brought up Bonnie.
And he sees right through Sully to see what the real problem is. This is an ongoing pattern with them, where Sully presents the problem as one thing, but cloud dancing always knows it's something else.
And Sully always wants to play. He's like, I want to race.
Yeah.
Like, well, get back to me when you're 7.
Get back to me when Wolf can run.
Yeah, where is Wolf?
Good race. No, I couldn't have beaten you today. It's a fast pony. You picked him. Not the pony.
What are you running from?
Nothing.
Woman troubles.
Spirits tell you that?
No, I've seen it before. It's been a lot of seasons that you've had love. But love is like the elk. Strong and powerful. It's hard to kill. If you look deep in your heart, you'll be able to find love again.
I hope you're right.
Once you were afraid of horses, now you ride like the wind.
Now, all right, a quick little 1994 story for you. Back in 1994, I worked in this kind of head shop in Long Beach, New York. And we used to have this, like, regular cast of characters who would kind of come in and talk to us and hang out and read the books about UFOs and burn incense and just kind of hang out. So one guy came in and we nicknamed all of these people who didn't seem to have names, but they were just kind of strange. This guy would come in and he would talk kind of like this, you know, like, hey, what's going on, buddy? And I think he called everyone Babe. So he goes, hey, Babe. And he would only talk to one particular person that worked there. He would never talk to me. But one day he finally did, and he came up to me. And I swear, he goes, hey, Babe, I'm afraid of horses. And I'm like, huh. So the nickname became, that's afraid of horses. And for years.
It sounds like it would be like a Cheyenne name, afraid of horses.
I mean, the guy would ask like for random stuff like, you know, hey, Babe, do you sell gold socks? And it's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like strange, you know, strange things like that. And he was definitely way off and everything. But so that was afraid of horses.
And that's awesome.
And I had no idea. For all I know, he was watching this in his group home. And and that's maybe that was it. Maybe he thought he was kind of Sully.
Yeah, maybe.
So afraid of horses, if you're out there. I don't know what your real name is. But if you went into a place called Futons in Paradise in Long Beach. Yeah. And that was me. Yeah, but afraid of horses.
That's hilarious.
And I am personally actually afraid of horses, so.
Oh.
I love them. I think they're beautiful. I just think, we talked about this. These big, huge animals kind of freak me out a little bit.
Is that why you're afraid of Wolf?
Well, he just has big brain. He doesn't like mind control. All right, so I go back to what I was playing before with Michaela saying that I'm right about vanilla scented Band-Aids.
Right. No one has the right to tell anyone else how to run their lives. It's your choice. It has to be.
Jake should go, are you hitting on me? This isn't going to work, Michaela.
She's wearing a lot of those little belts, too.
Yeah, let me see what her outfit is all about.
Just doing your job. Trying to save me. Fact is, as much as you wanted me to live, that's how much I wanted to die.
Why?
I deserved to die. I wanted to die. Just like Harry. Just like the man I killed.
Oh, Jake, I know how you're feeling.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I lost Harry, too. I couldn't save him. And I took part of that anger out on you.
It's not the same. You didn't kill him.
We all make mistakes. We have to forgive ourselves.
And you get a great shot here, by the way, of her eyes where you can totally see brown.
That's two different colors.
Yeah.
Jake, you've done good for...
I do also just want to mention, I just think that this is another one of these Jake moments where... This guy's really, really just convincing in a really wonderful scene.
Yeah, I think he just nails it in this scene.
Yeah.
A lot of people. There are too many people there who would miss you if you were gone.
I got no family. No friends.
What about Sully and Lauren, who held you and comforted you and you lay there terrified in that room? And Grace. She brought you dinner. Myra, she was so worried she made us break into your shop.
He's like, I'm going to turn on each and every one of these people in the next 5 seasons. At some point, yeah.
And then the Reverend.
Especially the Reverend he'll turn on.
He prayed for you. He prayed with all his might. And then Lauren again, he came into your shop and he just dumped out all your whiskey.
That was Lauren, huh?
<That's> like, I'm gonna kick his ass.
Me. What about me?
What about you?
I'm your friend too, Jake.
I deserve the most credit. I saved your life, remember? Remember she yelled that in his face? This is really visual, but...
Yeah, he has, like, kind of a little, like, emotional break at the end. And...
Yeah. But from what I recall, I mean, he doesn't really ever sober... I mean, he sobers up, but he never stops drinking.
Not yet.
I don't know. Even by season 6, I kind of think that we're still seeing him take a drink.
Wait, which episode are you on?
Oh, boy. I guess there's a lot to come. 4 or 5, yeah, I'm still early in the season. All right, so let's see, where are we? The kids surprise Michaela with the cake, and I don't know, everything's like really nice. They're having like a nice little birthday surprise at home. It's like a quiet thing. The kids repaired the china, which I think is a really nice gesture.
It was really sweet. They, like, really tried. And then Horace comes, and there's some, like, you know, fake emergency to lure her into town.
He's like, come quickly, it's Myra.
Happy birthday.
One thing we didn't mention is that the entire town seems to know all about her business and her love life. And she just starts kind of almost getting paranoid about it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and she gets really upset because she thinks that everybody's talking about her, which, I mean, they kind of are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do bring her into town and she realizes why. And that's because they're throwing her a party. We got the entire town together to throw her a party.
Happy birthday, Dr. Mark.
Even the saloon girls.
Well, they even brought her sister
in. Yeah. She didn't even know she was a saloon girl.
She didn't even know.
So that's what you were all talking about. And you let me make a fool of myself.
Ooh, that was the best part.
Punch. Don't worry, it's not Spike. Happy birthday.
It's completely spiked.
It's She's like, stumbling over to the sign.
It's like total moonshine.
Everybody, get ready for the unveiling.
Very strange that the Reverend is not wearing his Reverend suit.
Yeah, and he almost seems to be with that one woman who leaves.
Emily?
Yeah, like he's... Well, in the one little shot that I just saw, it looked like he was just kind of standing with her. Jake's got a pretty nice little suit on. Everybody looks good.
Yeah. So the thing with surprise parties, and like if I were Michaela, so the dress that she's wearing is all right, but I would have wanted to wear a better dress.
Something a little fancier.
So that's the thing with surprise parties. You don't have the ability to, you know.
Yeah.
Decide what you're going to wear to it.
It's true.
Dr. Mike, we just wanted you to know how much you mean to this town. And we all thought it's high time for a proper welcome. That's right.
90% of the people that we see here, we have no idea who they are. And, yeah, they went and bought her a sign. It says, Medical Clinic, Dr. Michaela Quinn, MD. All right, it's time for a speech, which we always...
Michaela is giving a speech.
Well...
You know, Hank's not here.
But his women were.
We don't see Sully here yet. Yes, I mean, I don't know. I think that Hank is just like, I'm not doing that. His character would probably avoid this.
Yeah. He'd probably just sit in the saloon and drink by himself.
Yeah.
I'm not much for making speeches.
Waiting for Michaela to come over alone.
Yeah.
It's usually her go-to.
All right, I am one for making speeches, but I just want to say how proud I am to be a member of this town. And I hope to go on treating all of its citizens for a long while.
And that's where we get to see Marjorie. And it's funny because when I first saw this, I was like, isn't that the mom from Wonder Years? And it is. And she was married to the actor who plays Lauren.
Yeah.
Who passed away.
In real life, they were married, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of good, kind of cool. And it's also kind of great that she would come back in a future role.
Yeah. I do think that the Marjorie character is pretty interesting. She turns into kind of a little... She kind of goes in directions you wouldn't have expected at first when you meet her.
Let's just say I don't trust women who wear pants. I'm just kidding.
And smoke cigars.
Yeah, definitely a weird... at the very least, a very entertaining character.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like we see enough of her in that, like... I don't want to, like, put this the wrong way, because, like, I enjoy her when she's there, but I think it's fine that we just have, like, a handful of episodes that are focused on her, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like, a nice change of pace, and she's interesting, but then that's also kind of, like, enough of her, too.
I kind of like the bitchy Marjorie that we got in Boston, though. I thought that was kind of fun. And it seemed like Michaela's other sister was even more goody-goody than Michaela.
Oh, Rebecca?
Yeah, Becky.
She has more sisters than that, though, but those are the only two that ever come to Colorado Springs.
Mm. Not that I'm hoping any of you get sick, you understand? It's just... Thank you. Thank you all.
Happy birthday, Dr. Wright.
Happy birthday.
Great surprise, wasn't it, Ma?
It certainly was.
Coming?
Oh, you children go on, huh? I'll be there in a minute.
I'm not even going to make fun of Brian.
That wig, great, you can't moi. Understand what he was saying.
That would be great, moi. Oh, what'd you say? Are you eating bread again, Brian? So everybody's there. But we do have one particular person missing. Cue music.
Nice sign.
Thank you. Sully?
What, can't a man get dressed up for a special occasion?
Not when they don't own those clothes. What? You know,
yeah.
Does he use like rocks to press it?
I don't know. And also, I feel like, so in the mercantile, I feel like they don't sell suits that are this nice. We see some dresses and some hats and stuff, but does Lauren sell suits of this caliber? I mean, where did he even get it would be the first question.
I don't know.
Ooh, thought. I don't think he would have kept it, but we do see a picture of him wearing a suit when he got married before.
Yeah, I think that he owned it. I think this is from his previous
This
life.
Is like just his suit, but yeah, so where does he keep it? I guess the lean-to.
He does. He has one of those zip-up bags. Mm. There's a little cedar thing in there to keep out the bugs.
And whoops in the lean-to. Where's my bed?
Yeah.
You're looking very handsome.
Thank you. I brought you something.
Oh. You look at the bottom, it's like he has no pants on. I love your wolf shredded the pants one night.
Yeah, I thought this was a Zoom call.
It's beautiful. Did you make this?
It's for your doctor, and there's a place for your instruments and your pills and things.
He's like all like nervous and like stumbling. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's kind of cute in a way
that
he's acting like this because, like, you don't really see him like this. So it's just really sweet.
It's the payoff because as viewers, of course, we want these two to get together, right? And for him to be stumbling a little bit, it's very cute. It's very sweet. And it's exactly what we want as a viewer, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Sully.
She goes to give him a kiss on the cheek. And he's like, not tonight, Michaela. Not tonight. Tonight you're getting a kiss on the lips.
Getting the full Sully treatment.
Her first kiss.
Yeah, that's right. David only kissed her on the cheek.
And he's really did he shave himself with his tomahawk? Is that why he was sharpening?
I don't know. I was actually just going to say that I don't really like the clean-shaven version of Sully. We get him like this on their wedding day as well. Mm-hmm. And something about him being clean-shaven like that is like a little unsettling. It's not really quite right. But then also when he's all like fully bearded, it's not my favorite either. But he has like this fine... in-between stubble type thing that he looks really good with.
Yeah, I think that in general, Sully has a certain good, rugged look to him.
Yeah.
And you probably prefer that in general.
So. I mean, I'm just saying for his character, you know, it just is, like, startling for him to be so, like, clean shaven.
Yeah.
And apparently he took a bath in the creek.
Well, you know.
Maybe.
A bar of soap and a downstream.
Yeah,
that's all you really
all
need.
Yeah,
hey,
Wolf, pass me the towel.
Wolf, don't eat the soap. Him and Wolf in the thing.
He like looks over and Wolf is like foaming from the mouth. It's not rabies though. He's just eating the soap.
Oh my god! You know, another stupid story. So, and we're at the end of the episode anyway, but I'll tell this story. We used to have a cat, and we would give the cat, I think it's like every 6 months, you put a few drops on their back, and it's like kind of like a flea and tick type treatment.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I put it on there, not knowing really what I'm doing, and it just says over and over again in huge words, do not let your cat lick it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cats, it's kind of impossible to put something on a cat's body and not have them lick it. So,
well, that's why you're supposed to do it on, like, that spot. Like,
I do. I did right yeah. in the shoulder blades, you know, yeah. where it would be impossible. But they somehow, the cat somehow licked it. And
the cat's head just, like, turns around. It's like
do you know what happens? It's insane what happened. The cat started foaming at its mouth like
a whipped cream, gosh.
But like whipped cream.
What?
Yeah, and all I hear is like,
oh my gosh.
And the cat starts bolting. My poor little Una goes, starts running back and forth, and there's just trails of foam coming out. She runs up the stairs, trail of foam, and runs into our bedroom right under the bed, and I freaked out, and I called Betsy. I'm like, I killed the cat. I don't know what's wrong. Like,
yeah.
You know, this whole thing, and I'm trying to get the cat to come near me. I'm bringing water up to it. I'm, like, doing everything I can. And to make a long story short, it's bad for them to lick it, but what it does is it will trigger their saliva glands, and It'll make them freak out so that they don't eat it anymore. So all it did was trigger this reaction with her mouth.
Oh,
so it wasn't dangerous. It was just scary for the cat.
Right, right.
But it scared the hell out of me. And
yeah, I bet.
And I made a phone call to the vet, and the vet's basically trying to talk me into, you know, going there for a thing. And I'm thinking, well, we just got back, and we owe you like $1,000 for nothing.
Yeah, then you're going to go there and they're going to be like,
so I can just give the cat milk? I can just give the cat some water and it'll be okay? I think I'm going to just do that. And the cat was fine. But, it was horrifying. But that's what it made me think of. With the wolf eating the soap in the water stream. Which didn't happen. So,
it's our fan fiction.
Yeah. Well, we've hit the 2-hour, 16-minute mark, so... Kelly, thank you so much for getting together for this episode of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Yeah, thanks for getting together. And just a side note, the bags, those are the ones that Marissa was talking about in this scene. So I will try to be more in tune in future episodes if those are the bags.
Yeah, we're trying our best to kind of watch everything.
Yeah,
We're kind of keeping our own little database where we do a lot of cross-referencing. And
yeah. We're taking a very thorough approach.
Yeah, and if there's ever been a show that deserves it, I think this show deserves that type of
definitely.
Attention.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quinncast in iTunes.